for about the last five Communion Sundays now, we are considering the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. There are seven of them, and we have reached number five. Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. And this morning we are going to pick up from where we left off last Sunday. Last Sunday we spoke on the two verses, and so this is part two today, this morning. We spoke about the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ and its essential part in our salvation. We did that last week. And we also spoke about the life that Jesus has, the eternal life brought by the resurrection. And so we took some time last month to talk about the phrase, I am the resurrection and the life. That life which is available to everyone who believes on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So this morning we want to dig in particularly into verses 25 and 26, but let me read just again a bit of the context so we can have it in place here. Beginning in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world. So last time we considered the phrase resurrection and life. We're not going to go over that again this morning. You can listen to the message from the last communion service posted on our church website if you are interested or need to be reminded about what we had said about the resurrection and the life. And so after declaring himself that he is the resurrection and the life, Jesus gave two important and relative statements. Number one, he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the second statement was, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Can you imagine that? They're quite enormous statements when you take some time to think about what is being said here. If these things were said by any other man, we would think them crazy, wouldn't we? Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet he's going to live. And if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. Now, if I was to say that, you would kind of wrap me up in bandages and take me to the hospital, because it would be crazy for anybody to make those kinds of statements. But coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus, we acknowledge them as not only true, but viable and seriously important for our own well-being and our eternal blessings as we believe what he has said. So let's just dig a little deeper into these two statements. The first one in verse 25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, if you check the internet or your library books, you will find that there are a number of interpretations for these verses, but I haven't found anything that's truly satisfying to my mind and to my understanding of the text here. So let's try ourselves and understand what Jesus is saying here. First of all, I wonder if Jesus had in mind Lazarus when he made these statements. And so, because Lazarus had just died, right? He's been dead, and Christ is coming to raise him from the dead. And so I just wonder if in Jesus' mind, he's thinking about Lazarus as he makes the statement. So to catch that, maybe the tenor, let's look at the background and the context of verse 25, which is all the first 24 verses. So you might want to just scan from verse 1 of the chapter all the way down. I'm going to try and summarize for you quickly. Jesus was up in Bethany, was away from Bethany, probably up in the Galilee area. And word had come to him up there in the north that Lazarus, whom he loved, was sick. That's verses 1 through 3. And then Jesus makes an extraordinary statement after receiving this word about his friend. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That's verse 4. Well, that sure sounds hopeful, doesn't it? The sickness is not unto death. Does that mean that Lazarus is going to recover from whatever the illness is? Sounds like he's not going to die from the sickness. And somehow, in some way, God is going to be glorified through it. Jesus himself would be glorified in it. He doesn't tell us in what manner the Father would be glorified, or even himself, by Lazarus' sickness, just that they would be glorified. And then we're told that Jesus stayed yet another 2 days where he was after receiving this important message about the serious illness. He waited 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, specifically the 12, the apostles that were with him, he said in verses 6 and 7, "Let us go unto Judea again." And so they were making plans to go. Well, after a bit of fact-checking, the disciples telling Jesus it was dangerous to go into Judea because the Jews were still out to stone him. That's verse 8. Jesus explains to them that he is going into Judea to Bethany to wake Lazarus out of sleep. Because, Jesus said in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." Sounds like a pretty good way to get over a sickness, isn't it? To be at sleep. The disciples thought that Jesus spoke of sleeping as taking rest in sleep, verse 13. But then Jesus plainly tells them that Lazarus is dead in verse 14. He's sleeping in terms of the look of the body. But Jesus actually acknowledged that Lazarus had died. And then another unusual statement from the Lord Jesus in verse 15, where he says, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So now Lazarus is dead and Jesus is glad. Can you put that together? "I'm glad for your sakes," he said to his disciples, "that I wasn't there and that Lazarus had died." And that was the point that he was trying to make at that point in time. It was for the sake of the disciples that they might believe. And we suspect that he meant to believe on him, on the Lord Jesus. Now, by the time that Jesus and the disciples arrived down in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead and buried for how long? 4 days. Buried for 4 days. The body is starting to decompose, folks, at this point in time. And 4 days by the time he got there. So that means that it took Jesus 4 days to get down to Bethany. Because when he left, he said Lazarus was dead. And by the time they get down there, he's been buried for 4 days already. So that's a bit of travel for him to get down to Lazarus's home. Now, in the context of our verses this morning, Martha heard that Jesus had arrived, and she went out to meet him, verse 20. And she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Verse 21 and 22, what do you think she was hoping for? "Lazarus has died. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died, but You know, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will be able to give it to you. What do you think she was hoping for? Her brother being raised from the dead, that Jesus might do that on his behalf. She doesn't say it in so many words, but I'm pretty sure that's what was going on in the back of her mind. And so Jesus said to her in verse 23, your brother's going to rise again. Simple statement, thy brother shall rise again. And we go, what? He's been dead for 4 days, the body's starting to decompose, and yet he's going to rise again. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and he's going to rise again? Now, Martha could only think of the resurrection of the dead in the last day, in which she knew that Lazarus and all saints are going to rise again from the dead. Little did she know that Jesus was going to raise her brother right there and then that day. How's he going to do that? We'll carry on in the story. The reason that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, that he will rise again, is because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Right? Whoever believes in him is going to be saved from their sins, will be resurrected, will be alive with eternal life. Jesus can do that at any time. And he is going to demonstrate that here in the next few verses. Now remember when Jesus was, what he said to his disciples in Galilee? He said, Lazarus's sickness was for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, and that he was glad that Lazarus had died so that disciples might believe when he wakes Lazarus out of sleep. Well, it all comes down now to this, doesn't it? What Jesus is about to do will indeed glorify God. It will help his disciples in their belief in him, because they had some struggles along the way, the apostles. The Son of God will certainly be glorified in what Jesus is about to do. And poor dead Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. Can you imagine the scene at all? Can you put yourself there in your sanctified imaginations to see what is going on? Martha left the Lord Jesus at that point, went back to Mary and said that Jesus was here. And Mary ran out of the house now to fall down at the feet of Jesus. And she said to him the same thing that her sister did. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 32. I have a comment here. Sisters. Both of them said the same thing. Except that Martha added, I know he's going to rise. I know whatever you want to do, God will do it, and that my brother will rise in the last day. Mary was so upset that all she could get out was, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Does that sound like a bit of a rebuke against the Lord Jesus? In other words, we sent you word for a while that he was sick and you didn't come. And now he's dead 4 days. And if he had only been here, my brother had not died. It sounds like a rebuke of the Lord Jesus. Of course, maybe it's just the grief speaking and knowing who the Lord Jesus is and what he could do. Maybe there was some grief going on there. But then we're told in the very next verse that Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 33. And then he asked where Lazarus had been laid, verse 34. Something that troubled Jesus expressed itself in the groaning in his spirit. And I wonder what that was. What was he troubled about? Well, when you read the next verse, verse 35, the shortest verse in the whole Bible, two words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. This must have been the external expression of his troubled spirit. But you got to ask the question, why did he weep? Why did Jesus weep? What was he troubled about? Well, the answer to that question would take a whole nother sermon that we don't have time for this morning, but maybe another time we'll dig into that a little bit deeper. But for this morning, let me suggest to you for your consideration about why Jesus wept at this point, what he was troubled about. Jesus wept, I believe, because he knew where Lazarus has been for the last 4 days. Do you know where Lazarus has been for the last 4 days? His body was in the tomb, but his soul and spirit were in paradise, Abraham's bosom, the place of departed spirits. He was in a place where he was at peace, where he was at rest, where there was no more sickness and disease. 4 days Lazarus has been in paradise. And Jesus was about to bring him back to this old, sin-cursed, corrupt, wicked world again. No wonder he cried. No wonder he wept. Because of what he was about to do for Lazarus to bring him back to life from where he's been for those wonderful 4 days. And in bringing Lazarus back, guess what? Lazarus is going to have to die all over again some point in time. No wonder he wept. Now the rest of the story is found in verse 38 to 44. You can scan over those verses quickly. The central point is that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He told them to move the stone away from the sepulcher. And remember, I think it was Martha who said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. By now he stinketh. that great statement. Where is it? Yeah, it was Martha in verse 39. But Jesus reminded her and said to her, I not unto thee, verse 40, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. So they took the stone away. Jesus gave thanks to his Father before them all. And then when he had spoken, he cried, verse 33, with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I think it's been well said that if Jesus had not said Lazarus, all the dead would have come out of the graves at that point. But he only wanted Lazarus to come out. So Lazarus, come forth. And the one that had been dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, if you were there on that day, what are you going through right now? What are you feeling? What's your sense about what's happening here, about the Lord Jesus? Seeing this man dead for 4 days now come hobbling out of the sepulcher, loose him and let him go? Awesome, just amazing. Glorify God, glorify the Son. The disciples will be encouraged in their faith and belief in the Lord Jesus through all of that, through this one spectacular supernatural incident. Now back in verse 25, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Could Jesus have been thinking about Lazarus at that point in time, knowing that he was dead for 4 days, but that he was going to bring him back to life? Seems to me that that could have been in Jesus' mind. That's exactly what happened. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But there's also a lesson here for the disciples, the 12 that followed the Lord Jesus, that they might believe in Jesus, even though they will die someday, they will also live again, right? He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, the Greek phrase there has the idea of dying, expressed that in those words, you may die at some point in time, yet shall he live. What does he mean by all of that? And so there's a lesson for his disciples here. There's also a promise being expressed here as well for us, even today. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, even though you may die, yet you will live again. Jesus said in another place, because I live, you also shall live. And so here is a promise that's related to our salvation, that even though we may die, yet we will live again. That's the day of resurrection. At the return of Christ to the clouds of the air, where he will call us up to meet him in the air, and thus we will ever be with the Lord. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture that we talk about, the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And so there's a principle, or at least a promise here being expressed to us. But there's also a principle that we can understand in this statement being given to all men. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Right? Jesus said, even if anyone who believes in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know that outside of Christ, everybody is dead in trespasses and sins. We we would call them the living dead. We could call them the living dead. Could probably make a TV show out of it. Here, Paul was writing to people who were alive physically, but they were dead spiritually. In trespasses and sins, they were separated from God because of their sins. So they were the living dead, alive physically, dead spiritually. But when a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and by grace through faith believes in Christ as Savior and Lord, his sins are forgiven, they are removed from him, and that person is given the gift of eternal life. Right? So even though he may be dead, yet shall he live because of faith and trust in Jesus as resurrection and the life. John 3:16, of course, tells us that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So by our faith and trust in Christ, we too, even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, now have eternal life, sins forgiven and removed. And then one more thought concerning this statement is that Jesus is also intimating about his own death and resurrection that is shortly to come. Right? So, "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I think he's giving a foreshadowing here of even his own death and resurrection. Not that he died for any sins of his own. He died for whose sins? All of us. The sins of the world, he died for them. And yet, after 3 days and three nights, in the heart of the earth, he rose from the dead with life eternal, never to die again. Well, I've got a few more pages of notes here on the second statement where he says, "And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." But I think we'll reserve those for the next time, just because our time's still gone and we still want to remember the Lord around the table. So take to heart. When Jesus made the statement here in 25 and 26, he said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" That's a question that we all need to answer. Do you believe what he has said here concerning himself, concerning life, death, resurrection, eternal life? There's a little bit more to consider in the second statement, and so we want to do that next time. And for this morning, we'll just encourage ourselves to believe what Jesus has said and to know that through our faith in him, even though we may die physically, there will still be a day when we will be raised to life. We have eternal life now, and it will go on forever. An interesting statement, he says in verse 2, "Whoever believes in me shall never die." You can imagine all the stuff that people have said about that statement, and we'll look into that a little more next time.